and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today we celebrate the Feast of the Transfiguration of the Lord. And from the United States, we hear from Linda Lysakowski, an advanced certified fundraising executive, author of about 40 books, and an Adrian Dominican associate. Linda is active in St. Bernadette Catholic Church in Kansas City, Missouri, and her preaching today is entitled, Imagine If You Will.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate, and they were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and do not be afraid. And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. Some of you may recall the old science fiction show Twilight Zone. If so, you will remember that Rod Serling, the creator of the TV series, often began episodes with his famous line, Imagine if you will. On this Feast of the Transfiguration, I'd like to borrow these words and ask you to imagine if you will, that you are there on Mount Tabor. If it is easier for you to close your eyes to imagine this following scene, please do so. Imagine yourself about halfway up the climb to the summit of Mount Tabor. You are tired, and Jesus is at least 50 yards ahead of you. You know what is going to happen, but you are not sure you'll be able to continue the climb to get close enough to experience this magnificent event. You have companions along the way, John at your right, holding your elbow and trying to help you find the strength for the climb. In his usual way, he's being very solicitous. On your left is Peter, and to his left, James. They have all slowed their pace to be with you, even though they're confused about who you are and what you're doing there. Who is this strange person? Peter asks, and why are they here with us? They are not a disciple. They are dressed very oddly. John assures Peter, Don't worry. There must be a reason they are here. Trust the teacher. The three guys are really confused about this whole thing. When they began their ascent, they thought it was just like so many other times. Jesus took them aside to pray with him. But there is something different today. Jesus is in a hurry. It seems he can't wait to reach the summit. Yes, a sense of urgency. The three are thinking, is the Father going to be at the top of the mountain? Is there going to be a burning bush, a voice from the heavens? They all know something is different about today, besides this fourth person that they do not recognize who is joining them on the journey. But you are calm. You know exactly what is going to happen, how it will affect the three apostles. But you also wonder why you were there. Why have you been chosen to witness this amazing miracle? Jesus then turns around, eager for all four of you to catch up. You know the three guys can do it easily. They've climbed these hills many times with Jesus. But you tell him you don't think you have the strength to make it. He senses your pain and your weakness. He immediately comes down the mountain to where the four of you are and picks you up like a shepherd would pick up the sheep that is too weak to make it on their own. You are now weeping uncontrollably. But when he reaches the summit, he gently sets you down on your feet. The other three have now caught up because they know you're taken care of. They are trembling with excitement and perhaps fear. But you whisper to John, everything is okay now. Jesus wants to share something very special with you. They are all perplexed by this whole thing. Then you see two dark clouds coming down to rest beside Jesus. You know what they are, but you cannot see Moses and Elijah. What's wrong? Obviously, the three apostles can see them, and they are amazed. Peter even says, it is beautiful that we are here with you, Lord. Let us build three dwellings for you, Moses, and Elijah. But you still see only the clouds that came down from the heavens. Finally, while the three guys are frantically running around trying to decide what to do about this phenomenon, Jesus smiles and looks at you. You don't see Moses and Elijah because you don't need to see them. You already know that I am the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. But remember, these guys are Jews. They need to see to be convinced that I didn't come to change the law, but to fulfill the law and the prophets. Just be patient with them. They'll get it someday. He is still smiling when the incredible, but inevitable and totally amazing thing happens. Jesus is glowing. His clothes and his body are almost translucent with the brightest white imaginable. The apostles recall that Moses' face was glowing so brightly when he came down the mountain that he had to wear a veil over his face. But Jesus is not hiding his incandescence. He is showing them what he looks like in all his glory. They also recall that Elijah was taken bodily into heaven. Is this what is happening now? Is Jesus leaving them? Will they also be taken up into heaven now? They are so dumbstruck they fall to the ground. They're not sure what to make of this incredible scene. He told them he must go to Jerusalem and that he will die and rise again. But he so often spoke in parables, they weren't sure if he was speaking metaphorically. John seemed to understand more than the others. Instead of being frightened, he was more tranquil than the other two. Despite his young age, he had the wisdom to accept this thing he couldn't quite understand. And this was perhaps the hardest thing for him to understand up until this point. Who could comprehend this sight? They must be asking, like you, why us? Why were we chosen to witness our teacher's glory? What are we supposed to do with this knowledge? They fall to the ground prostrate before this magnificent thing they are witnessing. And you are kneeling. You are just bathing in the glow of your Lord. And you have read and heard about the Transfiguration many times, but you could never comprehend the reality of it until now. And you know this is what Jesus looked like in his risen glory. But why me? Why you? Why has he chosen you for this incredible experience? Maybe you need to be reassured of your own immortality. Or maybe you must be assured that a loved one is basking in the glory of the risen Christ. Maybe you need to have your faith increased to fully comprehend Jesus as a fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Or maybe, like the apostles, you are being called to witness God's glory and to go out and tell all the world, tell all people of his love, his power, his glory. Our beloved Saint Dominic had the great privilege of dying on the Feast of the Transfiguration, the birth of Saint Dominic into eternal life. I am sure he was also truly transfigured and transformed at his death, and he was taken into Jesus' arms, and Jesus smiled at him, just as he smiled at you on Mount Tabor. And so imagine, if you will, what the world would be like if we, like Saint Dominic and like the apostles, shared this good news with the world so that the entire world can be transfigured and transformed into a loving, beautiful world with no one hungry, no one in pain, no one without a home or health care. No one hated for being different. No one without God in their lives. Imagine, if you will. God bless you.